You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Monday, March 25th. I'm Sarah Walsh alongside Kyle Brandt,
hello.
Jason McCourty, a two-time Super Bowl champ, and Chris Hogan joining us this morning. First hour good?
First hour is great. Chris, how'd it go for
it's
you?
It's a lot of fun.
Yes, love great to have you show. Here.
Time for the Lee Block. We got to get off this topic.
Lee
New
Block.
Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh down in Orlando, Florida for the annual league meeting. And he is speaking to the media right now. Let's take a listen.
But getting the players into the building, you know, April 2nd, they just can't wait for it. Because they're the ones that bring that building to life. And it'll give us all a great lift, you know, when that happens. So just really gearing up for that.
Joe mentioned last week that you talked to Justin after the Keenan situation. Just how did that conversation go? Obviously, they had quite a history there.
I've been talking to Justin every chance I get. Any reason I can call Justin, just check on, you know, how things are going on the ranch up in Oregon. You know, I love hearing stories about that. Talking about, you know, cadence, you know, putting in the schemes, offense and defense. I know, and Shane Days had multiple conversations. Justin's been in. He's gotten a few workouts in. I think that's hitting him really good. So, yeah, just that interaction. You know, I just like hearing how his day's going.
With Keenan specifically, though, I mean, I'm sure he was disappointed, like you were, to lose Keenan.
Same conversation that we're having right now. You know, it's like, yeah, this is the business side of the NFL. The NFL has a business side to it, and guys do it. They do what's best for them. You know, they do what's best for your family, but do what's best for yourself professionally and personally, and everybody understands that. And a heck of a deal for Mike, too. I mean, you know, $15 million a year, that's good. That's really good.
I love Harbaugh. God,
that's
I love that.
Good.
I'm so glad he's in the league. I'm so glad.
What do you got on what he had to say? I mean,
first
I could have listened to another 15 minutes.
Just keep going. These things, these like this breakfast, it feels like when you go to Disney and you go to the character breakfast, you know, and you're there with your family and they're like, oh, here comes Goofy. Hey, let's take the pictures. And here's Pluto. Like, it has a feeling of they're all working the tables.
Right around,
and I just can't help myself looking at the journalists in the background with their giant plates of food trying to ask about the Chargers special teams. Like, it's so entertaining. And I said it from the minute that I hired him, it was the biggest win for the Chargers in years. And listen, we're talking off the air. Chris, like, as a wide receiver, it's kind of nuts what's going on with the Chargers roster and the Chargers offense. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their roster right now, I think they have three guys on the roster. Two of them were rookies last year, and Joshua Palmer only going into his fourth year. So it's, you know, I mean, you got to imagine they're going to try to add some weapons for Justin Herbert. I mean, Harbaugh is, you know, I was with him back in 2011 when he came into the league with the 49ers, and he did some great things for Cap and that team. And I got to imagine that he's going to do some good things with Justin and that offense. So, but I mean, you got to add some more pieces to this puzzle to try to make that work. So it's going to be a lot of new faces, but I got to imagine he's going to do a good job out there.
Take us through this, though, with Harbaugh when he first came in. Like, what is that first team meeting? Like, he just mentioned April 2nd, getting the guys in the building, different personality. What was that like from a player's perspective?
It was a lot for me, right? That was my first year, so.
Yeah.
But a lot of those guys respond. I mean, that 49ers team was filled with veteran guys. Mm. I mean, he's got some high expectations. He runs it like a very tight ship, you know, straight from college, kind of takes that whole mentality over to the pros. And I think it either works or it doesn't work. Mm. And when he brought it to the 49ers, it worked, right? Guys bought into it. They were into it. He's going to coach him up, you know, and he's going to do some good things with Justin. So I think Justin's going to really benefit from having him you know, coaching him, you know, on the football side of things. Not that he hasn't done well in his career, but I mean, I think that having him there, I think it might take him to another level.
Now, as a wide receiver, because you just said it, you look at this room and they got rid of Mike Williams. They got rid of Keenan Allen. When Brady was in New England, a lot of people would always say, all right, they don't keep and they don't pay the big time receivers, but they get guys that can get open. Was it ever for you in that wide receiver room, like, hey, we took pride in the fact that we didn't have the biggest names or the biggest contracts, but we go out there with a really good quarterback and get it done? You think that mindset could possibly translate to these guys in that room
100%. In L.A.? Every single year you have that meeting. It's like, what's this receiver room going to be at? We didn't have the big name guys. You know, we had Rob in the other room. We had Brady. We had the, you know, we had the names. We had James White. But our room was just built off of, listen, we're going to go out every single play. It's going to be 100%. We're going to, you know, we're going to block. We're going to be annoying. We're going to be in your face. And we're just going to make plays when it comes to us. Get open, catch the football. There aren't any of these big names on this roster right now. They could, you know, add someone in the draft, but I think that mentality, I mean, I think Harbaugh's going to love that mentality, right? I mean, he's all about that. So I think that's going to be something that he's going to try to bring to that room. And if he can create a group of guys in that room that just want to play together, win football games and compete, then Justin Herbert's going to have a good group of guys to play football to.
It's going to be fun to watch.
You brought up not a lot of big names, and I was just curious your thoughts on, is Gus Edwards underrated? I mean, he had 13 rushing touchdowns a year ago, and it's so much like Herbert, Herbert, Herbert every year, right? I mean, obviously he's the quarterback, right? But there's so much pressure on him in terms of Harbaugh taking some pressure off this guy, because every year it feels like we're like, this is Herbert's year, right?
Sure.
This is it. Yeah. This is it. And then and then it's sort of the same letdown. Now, this is a different scenario, right, when you're bringing in Jim Harbaugh. You're bringing him after he won a national championship. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if I don't feel like Edwards gets talked about a lot or enough.
No, he's a really good player. And what's interesting is that Jason knows this. My take from the second Harbaugh took the job is that Blake Corum is going to be on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I just have a feeling this is the Michigan running back who's prolific, super strong. It's sort of similar running style to Gus Edwards, but I don't care. If you look what Jim Harbaugh did all the way back at Stanford, if you look what he just did at Michigan, if you look what he was doing with Gore in San Francisco, like, he loves to run it. And we love Herbert there, but I think there will be a couple running backs. I think he will find a way to have Blake Corum on the team. I think what he's done with the team is, like, it's reflective of Harbaugh. All the moves, like, you show up and, like, a pillar of the Chargers, Keenan Allen, just gone.
Gone.
Just gone. All the tight end, the other receiver, just gone. It's different, it's a little scary, and it'll probably work, which is how I would describe Jim Harbaugh. It's different, it's a little scary, and it'll probably work. I think the schedule's going to come out, you know, sometime in the offseason moving forward. The first thing I'm circling every single game, I'm not interested in any kind of Super Bowl rematch or anything. First Chargers-Chiefs game I'm just into.
Yes.
Like, unbelievable.
Yes.
Let's light the candle, ring the bell. Harbaugh versus Reed, Herbert versus Mahomes. Like, this is the one. And I feel like if Harbaugh wins that game, that's going to be the table-flipping moment. Ooh. About, like, the AFC West is not the same anymore. Or if the Chiefs roll them up, I don't know. But there's not a regular season matchup I'm more excited about than the first Chargers-Chiefs. And I think Blake Corum from Michigan will be wearing a Chargers uniform when they play that game.
I like that. And I'm fascinated by Harbaugh and Justin Herbert's relationship. And he said it. I just like talking to Justin and ask him how his day's going. And building that is so cool. And it's so Jim Harbaugh. But what we've seen from Justin Herbert so far was him throwing the ball all around the field. We know when Harbaugh comes in there, it's not possibly going to be that Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator. But I look at it, I remember when Dave Canales got hired with the Panthers and he came on our show and we talked to him. He talked about Bryce Young. I know, completely different player than Justin Herbert, but just his thought on the quarterback position. And he said, I want a quarterback that's going to play consistent, play in and play out, and have 3 to 5 game plays a game where he is just absolutely special. And if I'm Jim Harbaugh, he's probably going to ask the same thing of Justin Herbert. We maybe don't need you to make these crazy throws all over the field. And I see the memes out all over social media of Herbert standing in a room like Will Smith was on Fresh Prince, and the room's completely empty as Eckler's gone, Allen's gone, Mike Williams is gone. But I think he's looking at it like, I don't need those guys to run my offense. When he was with the 49ers, they had one maybe go-to receiver and a guy like Crabtree, and the rest of it was guys that fill in the blanks. And you throw the ball to him and run the ball behind Frank Gore and that offense. He mentioned Shane Day, the quarterback's coach, who was with Herbert back in 21 when he threw for the 5,000 yards and went to the Pro Bowl and all of that. He was with the Houston Texans last year with C.J. Stroud having a great rookie year. He's back with the Chargers, and Herbert said that's one of his all-time favorite coaches. So I think when you talk about the transition and Greg Roman coming in, and people are scared because it's like, well, he had Lamar Jackson, Colin Kaepernick, Justin Herbert's not that guy. To your point, Harbaugh is going to figure this thing out, figure this offense when it comes to the draft and all of that. But I'm still fascinated to see what this offense looks like because Herbert has broken record after record. That's not really the way Harbaugh does it. And we saw the receivers leave. I can't wait to see. You're talking about the Chiefs game. I just can't wait to see this offense operate and see what it's going to look like.
You think people are asking that Mike Tomlin, if he's calling Russell Wilson, like they just asked Harbaugh, and just saying, hey, how's your day going? We can find out. If they just put the plate of Huevos Rancheros down. Ask the man this question. Mike Tomlin is speaking to the media right now at the breakfast.
Yeah, in the days following our acquisition of Russell, Kenny expressed a desire for a change of scenery. As I had mentioned, we had been in pretty fluid communication with Chicago after we got a sense of what direction that was going. Then the dominoes started to fall, and we did the transactions necessary to kind of send Kenny to Philly and acquire Justin. We're excited about the guys that we have in Russell and Justin, man, and just really can't wait to get started.
On film that kind of gave you the confidence that he still has more to give than he showed in Chicago?
Oh my gosh, man. He oozes talent and potential. He's worn the responsibility of being a franchise quarterback, but still he gets an opportunity to come into a community-like situation and learn from a guy that's been doing it for over a decade. Man, there's a lot of meat left on that bone, man. I'm just excited about working to be a part of extracting it.
Where you like to have Justin kind of sit, learn this whole year, or is he in that competition?
No, we're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we're not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. It's good for receivers, tight ends, running backs, et cetera. All the things that people that are really committed to winning do this time of year. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capabilities.
Mike, when you went back and watched the film of Justin last year, did you feel like the Bears put him in the best position to succeed?
I'm not judging anything that was done in Chicago. That's not my business. I just look at the pedigree of the talent, the things that are not relative to coaching.
Mike, with that talent meshing with what Arthur Smith would like to do, is that one reason, too, why these two quarterbacks are the fit?
Absolutely. You know, their skill set fits into the vision of what we're trying to get done, and so I'm excited from that perspective, certainly.
Mike, we talk about this being a brotherhood, a bond for life. When you have a former player in crisis, seemingly in crisis like Cam Sutton, is there anything you do to reach out as his former coach?
I certainly have, but I'll just leave that between us.
Mike, how do you assess the kickoff proposal, where it stands? What do you think that'll accomplish what you want and its chances of being passed?
You know, as a member of the committee for several years, man, we have talked about the kickoff play. And for obvious reasons, man, it's central to our efforts to make the game safer. Obviously, this is, an unusual discussion in terms of the radical change. But, man, the special teams coaches and the special teams coaches committee have put a lot of work into the proposal, man. I'm so appreciative of the work that they put in trying to meet the demands of the game as we try to advance the game and move the game forward. But where that's going to land and what's going to transpire today, I have no idea, man. It's a big day. We got a lot of discussions ahead of us.
Mike, you mentioned there's a lot of meat on the bone, you feel like, with Justin. What can you and Arthur and Russell do to help him reach his potential that maybe couldn't be done in Chicago?
I haven't met him yet in a professional setting, so we'll handle all of those things in a very natural way. We're excited about having him.
All right. Good job, Mike.
I kept looking at Jason. Tomlin puts on a clinic on how to just handle those questions because, people could be easily picking it, trying to create a controversy already with, and he just shuts it down, is definitive, the best things out of there, oozes talent and potential. When he was talking about Justin Fields, still said there's a lot of meat left on that bone, which I looked at you and I said, God, he's still so young. It almost sounds like you're talking about Justin Fields, that he's been around forever. And then also Russell Wilson, pole position. And that's beneficial to the team to have this guy in the offseason in pole position as your starter right now in Pittsburgh. What did you think of what Mike Tomlin had to say?
I thought that part was interesting. He said the synergy of the offseason, having him there, because the 12-month calendar, him being a vet. I looked at it as he has these two quarterbacks. You have one that is a seasoned vet. You put him, you let him go first, but every opportunity is going to be given possibly to Justin Fields to take that spot if he outplays Russell Wilson. But the bigger picture, you look at Pittsburgh's quarterback room last year, and he mentioned Kenny Pickett wanted a change of scenery. To what they're walking into this year with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, I feel like they're light years ahead of where they were last year in their quarterback one with Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. Yes, Rudolph played well, get them in the playoffs, but I look at this is going to be a fun arrangement of these two guys, similar playing styles. We heard Justin Fields say he kind of looked at his game as Russell Wilson as he got into the NFL. So I truly believe, though, Justin Fields is going to become the starter of that team.
What a room that is there. Let me tell you what I mean. Never mind the Fields thing. You're sitting there, you have Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl winning coach, who's just basically made a huge investment in Russell. It's not a huge financially, but this is the next chapter of his career.
Yeah.
Two tables over, you got Sean Payton, Super Bowl winning coach, who just is paying to not coach Russell Wilson anymore, who was asked, like, was it tough when that cap hit to get rid of Russ? He goes, no, like, not at all. Like, he could not want to coach him any less. And this is like a made guy. Another made guy, not some fly-by-night or new guy, says, I want this guy. And it's like, don't you want the two of them to get together and
be like,
what's your deal? No, why do you not want to coach him? Why do you want to coach him? That's what's going on in the same room. It's unbelievable. And in the meantime, a lot of questions about a backup quarterback to Mike Tomlin. It's almost you want to be like, hey, coach, what week do you expect Justin Fields to take over as starter? Like, is it five? I have it at 4.5. Over
Jason
or under?
Called it.
It's a lot. It's a lot of talk about a backup quarterback, and this is Mike Tomlin's world now. The Steelers are just like the model of solidity and consistency. It's this quarterback. It's this formula. And now it's like all up in the air, and there's quarterback controversies, and there's a little bit of chaos almost. It's un-Steeler-like. So I think this is not the usual owner's meeting for Mike Tomlin. Like, I don't want to call him out too much, but there was definitely some perspiration going on. I don't know if it's a little bit more difficult for him to just say, you know, bend this and bend that. At the same time, like, it seems like a different type of formula for the Steelers right now, Chris. They're usually the ones who know exactly what they're doing. Now there's some confusion.
I love it, though, right? I mean, you have a guy like Justin Fields who hasn't really had that opportunity to learn from a veteran quarterback like Russ. I mean, you said it, right? He watched Russ as he was coming into the league. He's modeled some of his game after some of this stuff. So is it Russell Wilson's team in the beginning of the season? Probably. But is Justin Fields going to benefit from being in the same room with Russell and learning from him? I think so. And do we think that Justin Fields is going to come in at some point in the season? Yeah, I absolutely think that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the potential of this kid, I don't think we've really seen it, right? And I think that he's going to have the ability to kind of grow a little bit in Pittsburgh and become the quarterback that we've all expected him
to
become.
What if Justin Fields is lights out in the preseason? Does it matter? What if throughout training camp, and then, you know, I know we pick apart every little pass in these preseason games that don't technically count. What if Justin Fields is lights out? Mm-hmm. And there's this sentiment that maybe in the back of someone's head that this guy gives us the best chance. Is this a scenario that you can't, like, there's no scenario that Russell Wilson can't be the starter week one?
No, I think for them, you brought two guys in, and you mentioned the finances, where there is no paid guy that's coming in. It's like, you're our guy. Both of these guys are coming in new to the team. So I think they're going to start out with Russ as the guy. You would assume as a veteran, he's going to be able to pick up Arthur Smith's office and possibly be able to operate and manage it in a better way as a veteran. So you would assume that he goes out there and who knows, maybe Russ shows up in a preseason and we're like, oh my goodness, this is the Russ that we saw in Seattle. And maybe he's just unbelievable. It's so hard to tell. You guys remember, Kyle, we talked about it last year in the preseason. Pittsburgh was unbelievable. Pickett was out there. George Pickens, they were putting up points in it. And it was like, this team's going to be the real deal. And they barely could score any points once the season started. But I think if Fields is unbelievable in the preseason, I don't think that Tomlin and the Steelers would be afraid to say, you know what, we're rolling with Fields. Like, look, you guys are looking at it. We're looking at it. He's outperformed him. But I think it's going to take that. He's going to have to be unbelievable in the preseason to do that.
Oh, I just didn't know if it then created a weird situation with Russ. You know what I mean? Because, again, we don't know what we're getting out of Russ.
I mean, I think it's also, how does the rest of the team respond, right? How is Justin in the huddle with all of these guys and the guys that he's going to be on the field? Are they responding more to Russ? Are they responding more to Justin, right? So I think the leadership that both of them are going to have to come in and kind of give to the rest of the team.
It's gonna be crazy.
You know, like, that's going to be a competition within itself. Both of these guys are going to come in. They're both going to be wanting that starting job.
It's so true, man.
How do they handle dealing with the rest of the team and just that almost off the field type of stuff, right? So that could create more of this controversy. And like you said, I mean, if Justin goes out and plays lights out, I mean, yeah, now it's just it's a conversation that the Steelers are going to have.
There's not a lot of true quarterback battles in the preseason. There's just not. You know, you usually know who your starter is, like, sure, hands down. And so for training camp purposes and for our purposes, right, it's one of those juicy storylines that
Something
to watch in that
Fields
preseason.
Fields is a head taller. He's significantly faster. He's way younger. There's some mercurial personalities in that Steelers offense. Like, I don't know what the gel factor is, yep, with Russ, yeah, versus, yep, Fields, who's way closer to their age. Yep. Like, it may be something. Like, I know Russ has got skins on the wall and everything that Fields doesn't. Fields has a lot to prove. He's way younger. Like, that could be something in the preseason.
All right. Don't have time to watch 12 pro days because you probably were planning on it. Well, that's okay because we've got you covered.
Let's go.
It is the first ever Big 12 pro day special on Thursday. It is the quarterbacks. It's the wide receivers. It's the tight ends. Friday spotlights the running backs and the DBs. It is the Big 12 Pro Day presented by Air Force Reserve. Both nights at 8 Eastern, exclusively on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. Still to come on GMFB, we got former Tennessee running back Jalen Wright joining us later to talk about the upcoming draft.
All the playmakers come through Good Morning Football.
Let's go.
Light of spring.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Our next guest spent the past three seasons in the backfield at the University of Tennessee. He was one of the biggest risers at this year's NFL Combine. Guys, please give a warm welcome to former Vols running back Jalen Wright.
Hey, what's up, Jalen?
What's happening?
Good, I'm good.
Hey, you are good. And you had an impressive performance in Indy at this year's Combine, where you ran the second fastest 40 out of your position group amongst the running backs. Tell us what the Combine was like and what this whole process has been like for you as scouts continue to see you and you're showing up more and more on their boards.
The Combine, it was just a grind, man. You know, just seeing all the best athletes and, you know, and just in the draft process, you know, just being there with them, you know, just grinding, you know, just doing the things that I knew what I was going to do before the Combine, just being confident in my ability. So it was all good.
Yeah, every single guy who goes through this is it's not a pleasure trip. It's a lot of work. You used the word grind a few times, and we know you have that in you. There are former NFL GMs out there saying you may be one of the most underrated prospects in this year's draft class, despite the way you shine at the Combine. Do you feel like you got something to prove? And how does that word hit you, underrated?
Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, walk around with a chip on my shoulder. I feel like I've been underrated mostly all my life. So, you know, right now, you know, this is nothing new. It's just, that's what makes me, you know, go harder and, you know, just keep, you know what I'm saying, proving my point that I'm the top running back and, you know, there's no limits of what I can do. So,
what do you got, Chris?
Hey, first of all, keep that chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Don't let that chip ever leave. But much like myself, you are a two-sport athlete most of your life. So, obviously, and being a track star, is speed, you think, the number one part of your game, the strongest part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like speed goes a long way. You know, when you got speed, you know, it's something that you can't really teach. So, you know, just me being, you know, being able to run track and, you know, just having long runs and have the endurance to, you know, finish like long runs, you know, so that's why I feel like that really helped me a lot. You know, speed is everything, and not only speed, you know, I got the balance, you know, just everything, you know, with the great running back, so.
Yeah, we're watching some of your track footage right now as you're
awesome.
Blowing by people there. You spent the last three seasons playing alongside quarterback Joe Milton. We've been talking a lot about quarterbacks this morning, who's going to get drafted where. He's also looking to get drafted next month. We want to know about his arm strength. Describe his deep ball.
Oh, yeah. You know, everybody knows Joe can throw that thing. So, you know, I mean, his arm strength is, like, amazing. You know, not only that, you know, I feel like Joe got the touch, you know, to get the ball there, you know, just him showing his arm off, you know, that's just a God-gifted, you know, talent. So, you know, that's going to go a long way for him. I'm very excited to see where he's going to go and land up at.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's like to have a quarterback where he just says, you know what, just run as far as you can, and let me just loft that thing. This is the time of the year where draft analysts, we all like to put our player comparisons. I've seen you compared to Alvin Kamara. But for you, as you look at your game and you look at NFL players and different running backs that you've watched, whether it's growing up or right now in the NFL, who would you say that you would compare your game to?
Growing up, you know, I've always been a huge Adrian Peterson fan. You know, just the way he, you know, he just runs so aggressive. You know, he's very explosive. You know, he's a back that can do everything. Not only that, I love Christian McCaffrey. You know, just I like the model of my game at the backstep. You know, backstep that can do everything. You know, very elusive. Somebody who can catch out the backfield. Somebody who's explosive. You know, break tackles. You know, do everything like that. So those are, you know, like just the backs I really compare myself to and look up after. So
it's a good comparison, man. The offensive player of the year, McCaffrey. But before we let you go, those Tennessee Vols just advanced to the Sweet 16. Mm. They're going to take on Creighton later this week. What's your prediction for Tennessee Creighton? And does the slipper fit? Can they go all the way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, of course, you know, I got Tennessee going all the way. And I'm about to win this game. You know, they've been doing a hell of a job out there today. You know, I mean, out there, you know, just whole, you know, March Madness, this whole tournament, so I'm just excited, you know, to see where they're going to be at, and I got faith that they're going to be all the way, so let's go Vols.
Awesome.
Love it. Hey, appreciate you coming through this morning. I know it's early. We appreciate it. Good luck with the draft. And then are you going to be wearing number 0 in the NFL as well?
I love to wear 0. You know, if that number's open, I love to go get it. You know, that's my number, so let's do it.
There we go, man. Hey, good luck, man. We'll be watching.
And thanks, we'll be Jaylen. Rooting appreciate for you. You. Thanks, Jaylen.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. Our next guest was looking to get paid this offseason, and last month he cashed in on a 3-year deal. He is part of a new-look Vikings defense. Please welcome back to the show Vikings linebacker Blake Cash.
Yo, what's up, Blake? Let's go, baby.
Thank you for having me.
Blake, you're a Minnesota native. You went to Eden Prairie High School, then played college football at the University of Minnesota. By the way, Jamie Erdahl, I feel, owns the Minnesota space, so I'm not doing her justice right now. How much did your Minnesota roots factor in deciding to join the Vikings? Where did that stack up?
It carried a lot of weight simply because not a lot of guys that have the opportunity to play in the NFL also get the opportunity to play for their home team. And, you know, I grew up there. I also played in the Big Ten, Minnesota Gophers, college ball there. And I really enjoyed having all my loved ones, my family, my friends, people that support me, have supported me throughout my entire journey being at games in college. So to have them, you know, at the Vikings game at U.S. Bank Stadium, you know, I'm thrilled and I can't wait to share this experience with them.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You have to have been getting swamped by all the family and friends back home congratulating you on coming back to Minnesota. And you said it at your introductory Vikings presser that you've had the same phone number since you were 16 years old. Hmm. I need to know, is there a story of somebody reaching out to you? Did you get any of those "what's up" big head text messages? Yeah. What has it been like since the news has hit that you're returning home to Minnesota?
Man, I probably had close to 1,000 messages. You know, some people I'm still close with today, some people I haven't heard from in years, but, you know, there was college coaches, like D3 and D2 college recruiter coaches that I probably only had one conversation with in high school that were reaching out to me. I had a guy I played baseball with who I haven't seen probably since I was 14 or 15. You know, he reached out, had a lot of, you know, great things to say, just, you know, happy for me and following my story. But, you know, it's a little overwhelming, but, you know, that's what makes this, you know, I think a little bit extra exciting is all these people that, you know, I've had a relationship with or still have a relationship with, like, they're all happy for me, excited for me, and they almost feel a part of this journey as well. So it's cool to share the moment with everybody.
We don't know. We don't know it off the top of our head. The area code. Shout out the area code to all the people. What's the area code?
612, Minneapolis.
Yeah, the 612. Ooh. Listen, there's some other guys getting some new 612s. Among them, one of our favorite guys, Andrew Van Ginkel, is joining the Vikings defense. And then a guy who's probably had one for a long time, Harrison Smith. You know, if you do the math, Blake, you were probably watching Harrison Smith on the Vikings when you were in high school, and now your teammates with him, and it's part of the same defense. How cool is that for you, and what's the potential for this Vikings defense this year?
I think there's a lot of pieces we've added to the defense, and you got a lot of potential to be one of the best defenses in the league with what kind of scheme Brian Flores run. You know, there's, in a way, you could argue not really a true identity. Like, it's just, it's so exotic, and, you know, everyone knows he loves to bring pressure. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. And like you said, to work with Harry, or Hitman, like they call him in Minnesota. You know, he's a Minnesota legend, one of the greats. And the way I see it is, you know, that's kind of his team. That's his defense. And I can't wait to learn from him and hear what he has to say. I mean, I already spoke with Brian Flores, and, you know, he was telling me all the different blitzes and things that he actually installs with the coaches, which I think is, that's extremely special and rare. And so to be able to play with a guy that's, you know, a safety, but has the ability to command a defense, you know, I'm excited because, you know, it's only going to help me and help our team.
The NFL can certainly be a small world, man. We played on the Jets team together back in 2020. We also played with Sam Darnold, who is going to be a teammate of yours. How do you see him fitting in that quarterback room with Mullins and Hall?
I think Sam has the ability to have a breakout year this year. You know, you look at the offensive minds that are in the organization. You know, you got a great head coach, Kevin O'Connell. They added Josh McCown. So Sam's always been a guy, in my opinion, that's had the talent. He has the tool set to be a great quarterback. And I think his best days are ahead of him. And to be in a right scheme with the right weapons, you got Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, the Hawk, an offensive line that can protect him. You know, we just added Aaron Jones, Showtime. Like, I think the sky's the limit, and I think everyone needs to stay tuned for the Sam Darnold breakout year.
Okay. All right.
I like
awesome.
It.
All right. Clip it off, baby. Clip it off.
That's awesome.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us. You know what my takeaway was from this? And was this, I think, your fault that you've had the same phone number since you were 16 years old? So everyone from the 612 that knew Blake went, I mean, you can just hit him up. That thing hasn't changed.
It's right. Asking for some money.
That's right.
I do a great job.
Thanks, Blake.
And thank you, 612.
Yep. Appreciate it.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
A couple hours this morning without talking about the Jets, but then, you know, Robert Saleh at the breakfast gets surrounded. Distractions are eliminated by winning, which is accurate, I would say.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the Jets?
What do you think, Jay?
Very accurate. The Jets have had Aaron Rodgers never came out and said he was running for VP, but they had that. There's just so much it always seems like going on there. But to Saleh's point, I was a part of an organization in New England. I was coming off losing every single game in Cleveland. And then you get to New England, we won a Super Bowl that year. You better believe there were distractions that went on that year. There were things that went on in the building where you're like, I don't really like that or whatever the case is. But when you win games on Sunday, it's so much easier to forget about them. With the Jets last year, we did a parade for them in the offseason, and all they did was make the necessary moves. It was us in the media that continued to build them up. Then they had Hard Knocks, and everything just seemed like it was on the right track and going a certain way, and then you lose your quarterback four plays into the season. So it seems like since Rodgers has decided to go there, there's been distraction after distraction after distraction. And him saying that, you understand it, but at the end of the day, enjoy the offseason. When it starts for them, it's going to come down to, can they figure out a way to win games? And when I got another receiver to help Aaron Rodgers, we'll see what they end up doing in the draft. They redid their offensive line. So some of the distractions and some of the headlines for them are all positives of moving in the right direction. I think when Rodgers is your quarterback, though, it's going to be hard to avoid distractions. It just is what it is. He's a guy that has a ton going on outside the field, and he's one of the best players ever put a helmet on. So there's always going to be media and headlines that around him. But for this New York Jets team, hey, let it be a quiet offseason. Let that all go last year, what happened. Let it be quiet. Let it be a slow build. And once the season starts, find ways to win games.
I feel like maybe the best thing that could happen to the Jets is that the Giants draft a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And just like take some of the attention and just take it.
We said that about the Giants last year. The Jets was the best thing for them.
It's true. But I also think like you can't allow yourself to believe that the Jets like blew it last year or it didn't work. It wasn't like they get a D or an F or a C. They get an I. They get an incomplete. It was the strangest like do-over of the season. And then we've talked about it 1,000 times. 4 snaps and the entire plan was gone. Or they didn't have a backup plan. So it's like bring everybody back. Everybody. Like all hands on deck again and just run it back. And also they have the 10 pick in the draft. So what are they doing there? I think Salah, like, I know that he is like a body as temple. He's in really good shape. And he must have aged 15 years in the last year. Like, he looks great. I love you, coach. But it's got to be the hardest year of his life. Chris, you're in the region. You understand. Like, what's just been your take on the Jets over the past year?
It's every year, right?
Is it?
It's like, yo, we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to add this. We have the headline. We bring in Rodgers. Yeah. We're going to the Super Bowl. Like, stop talking about it. Like you said, let it be a quiet offseason for all of these guys on this team that are going into training camp, going into the offseason. Stop focusing on that. Like, just go out and just do your work and just see what happens. Uh-huh. You're setting yourself up for not to be successful. It's like, we're going to get to the playoffs. It's every single year. This is the year for the Jets. This is the year, right? We're going to the playoffs. And then you don't get there, right? Mm-hmm. Stop talking about it.
Just go
win football games, right? If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, great, right? If he's not, who cares, right? That's not, you can't control some of that stuff. What you can control is just going to work, you know, not talking about going to the playoffs and winning Super Bowls. Like, you're not there. You haven't been there in a long time. So just focus on winning games.
I don't think you can go to work in this area and it not be, like, you can say that you want it to be as quiet as we're, you know, there's no hard knocks. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give them any, you don't have to give them headlines, not in this town. I mean, there's just no, Giants or Jets, there's no skating underneath the radar. And we can say the pressure's on the Giants, the pressure's on the Jets. It's not going to matter because they can have the quietest offseason. They can say not another word. We cannot hear a thing. The day that training camp starts, the day that, like, this season, you know, turns the page and we're on to this next season and Aaron Rodgers shows up to camp, it is going to be headlines. I mean, there's just, but that's New York. I mean, there's no changing that, even with the best of intentions of we're not going to give them anything. And you know they're going to give them stuff because that's the way it works. So the best intentions are no distraction, but that's just, I don't think that's feasible in this area.
I don't know if you guys, there's an election for president this year. That might be something. So there's some high profile candidates there and there's some ties. It's
a lot.
Yeah. You know what would be great though? They hit that election and the Jets are 8-3 and they're actually matter. I hope they win. I'm rooting for them.
Okay, before we sign off here, apparently you had big plans last night. Big night out. What do we got?
I had a good weekend. I dropped the kids off Friday with my in-laws. I didn't pick them up till Sunday. Saturday, it was raining. Cats and dogs here. Me and the wife stayed in bed all day.
So
I had one hell of a weekend. But last night, I went on a tangent. Last night was at the Barclays Center for the NCAA tournament. Took the entire family. We got a chance to watch the games. Duke and UConn blew out both teams. So it was fun. The kids were cheering, all of that. But I ran into an A-list celebrity at the game. He was nice enough to invite me up to his suite in between games because I was just sitting in a regular section. I found New York's very own Peter Schrager alongside Mel Schrager right there in a suite at the Barclays. That's me and my three kids, Liana, Caden, and Kai. We got a chance to kick it, hang out for a little bit, so it was always good to see my guy Schrager, who's on vacation this week, but we were able to connect. You know, he runs Brooklyn, so he was just saying hi to everybody, welcomed me into the suite and all that, and then after we hung out for a little while, I went back down to my seats where the regular people were.
Okay, yeah. Well, Peter has the hookup. I have some questions and thoughts about the angle of Peter's hat. Like, wait, Macklemore? What, Peter, what the hell is that?
Why Macklemore?
I don't know.
Why not another rapper? Why not J. Cole or Drake? Why
Macklemore? You know what? What are you, Vanilla Ice? Schrager, what are you doing? What are you, Eminem? That's the only guys I know. Mel Schrager looks fantastic. That's a gentleman. The entire McCourty family. Peter, I miss you, bud.
Yeah. We miss our guy Schrager. We had a good time. Good games last night. So yeah.
Okay.
We got NFC Coaches Breakfast tomorrow, right?
Let's go!
I mean, who knows?
You'll be back. Holt will be back.
He's gonna bring.
Don't get in between a reporter and their biscuits and gravy. Get out of their way.
Better get your breakfast.
That's right.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.